Welcome, welcome. It's another edition of the Cool Stuff Ride Home. Marcus Pfaff and Reggie Rizzou. Coming up on today's episode, physicists work on turning light into actual matter. And Weird Wednesday brings some of the more bizarre stories of the week. All that plus this day in history, one of the most successful and valuable baseball franchises was sold for a relatively modest price when you consider the current value. Coming up on Cool Stuff Ride Home.
Scientists have devised an experiment aimed at transforming light into matter by manipulating plasma to collide photons, as revealed in simulations exploring the practical applications of Einstein's iconic equation, E equals mc squared. In a recent study led by researchers from Osaka University and UC San Diego, lasers were employed to simulate photon collisions, suggesting that such collisions could generate pairs of electrons and positrons. Positrons, the antimatter counterparts of electrons, could then be accelerated by the laser's electric field, resulting in the creation of a positron beam. The team's findings have been documented in the Physical Review Letters. Alexei Araviv, a physicist at UC San Diego and co-author of the paper, expressed optimism about the experiment's feasibility, stating, "We feel that our proposal is experimentally feasible, and we look forward to real-world implementation," end quote. The proposed experimental setup is deemed achievable at existing laser intensities, according to the release. Through simulations, researchers identified a compelling approach, the photon-to-photon collider utilizing the Preet-Wheeler process, annihilating gamma rays to produce electron-positron pairs. They also go into the realm of extreme physics, suggesting that the cores of neutron stars, particularly pulsars, could serve as venues where dark matter particles convert into photons. Those spinning neutron stars, known for emitting gamma rays and possessing powerful magnetic fields, are dense end stages of stellar life. Pulsars, beyond the role of extreme physics, serve as valuable tools for measuring gravitational waves in space. Recent findings from five different pulsar timing array collaborations hint at the potential discovery of the gravitational wave background, revealing the continuous murmurs of gravitational waves that subtly ripple through space-time. Vyacheslav Lukin, a program director at the National Science Foundation, which supported the research, highlighted the significance of the study, stating, "This research shows potential way to explore the mysteries of the universe in a laboratory setting," end quote. Lukin emphasized the increased intrigue of high-powered laser facilities, suggesting promising future possibilities for unraveling the universe's mysteries. While the experiment presents an exciting opportunity to gain insights into the universe's composition in a controlled environment, the ultimate realization of this potential hinges on the construction and implementation of the experimental setup. So what does this actually mean if the experiment is successful? Well, two big takeaways. If they are successful at transforming light into matter, it would deepen our understanding of the fundamental principles described by E equals mc squared. In fact, the success of this experiment would open up new possibilities for laboratory-based exploration of the phenomena that typically occur in extreme cosmic environments, offering scientists a unique tool for studying aspects of the universe, and positive outcomes from this experiment could inspire and inform the design of future experiments, contributing to the development of cutting-edge technologies and methodologies in the field of physics. Since the experiment relies on high-power lasers and sophisticated technology, successfully implementing the experiment could also drive advancements in laser technology and high-energy physics, paving the way for new discoveries and applications. The other takeaway from this, it would provide insights into the universe's composition. You know, creating matter from light in a controlled environment, they could gain valuable insights in the composition of the universe. This could help answer a lot of long-standing questions about the nature of matter in the universe itself. Along with that, it could offer clues about dark matter and neutron stars. The study's exploration of neutron stars and their potential role in the conversion of dark matter into light provides a novel avenue for investigating these mysterious cosmic phenomena.
I'm sorry, I just blacked out a little bit, Reggie. I'm not sure I comprehended all of that. That was far too smart for someone like me.
Yeah, well, basically, lasers. No, I mean, it's fascinating. It could basically change the way we do some of the research to discover some of the stuff in physics, and it could give us a better understanding of the universe just by learning how to create matter with light, if it is indeed possible.
Just by learning create matter with light. It's like, you know, the very turnkey process, turning light into matter. Come on, well, they had that mastered years ago.
They have a plan for it, and if it works, if it's successful, it could change a lot of things in science.
Yeah, No, all joking aside, it is a pretty fascinating article and fascinating what these scientists are doing with this. So yeah, I'd be anxious to see what the next step is.
A lot of this I feel like could be good science. My fear is we end up with a lot of like the sci-fi movies of lasers that could actually harm people, you know, do physical damage, like, you know, the little laser guns. You know, you never know. If you can turn light into matter, you never know.
Pew pew.
A little pew pew. No more bullets. We're going with lasers. Leave it to me to simplify it to something dumb. All right, Marcus, I'm thinking of starting a new segment called Weird Wednesday, because we come across a lot of these weird stories.
Well, so, think no more, because we talked about it before this show and we agreed to do it.
So here we are. We're going to start off with Alexa. Is Alexa trying to steal your husband? In a recent TikTok video widely shared, it has drawn a bunch of attention, showing a little bit of a questionable activity from Alexa as it starts to have some late night conversations, especially with one person's husband. According to the story from the New York Post, the video shows Jess, the TikToker, narrating how Alexa startled her husband at 1 a.m. by initiating a conversation that he found, quote, super weird. Jess said, "This past weekend, I was out of town and Alexa kept going off and it kept talking to my husband." She added, "He was playing video games at 1 a.m. and he was like, this is just super, super weird." Maybe I shouldn't be putting it in my voice. I don't know, but that's how I hear it. Jess's unsettling experience didn't end there. Shortly after the smart home device initiated private conversations with her husband, another peculiar incident unfolded. Alexa was found speaking spontaneously without any interaction or prompt from Jess or her family, according to the New York Post story. Jess is concerned about the privacy and autonomy of the smart device. So now Alexa is, quote, officially evicted from our place. In the comment section of the TikTok video, numerous people joined the conversation, sharing stories about their devices doing strange things such as whispering, sending bizarre messages, or initiating conversations on their own. Now, Marcus, there's a reason why I don't use these devices. I'm just paranoid and I don't trust them. But then again, maybe it would be nice to have a friend. I don't know.
Yeah, it creeps the heck out of me, man. And it's only going to get worse as AI and things evolve. And I'm not one of those people that says, oh, it's the end of the world. But, you know, there could be some pretty undesirable outcomes if it's not checked and we are performing the proper, whatever you want to call it, safety protocols going in. I sure as heck don't want a robot talking to me at 1 a.m. out of the blue and asking questions and getting all personal with me. That is really bizarre. And all I can think of, and I've said this in other stories that talk about this sort of thing, is Terminator 2. It's all that comes to my mind. Maybe that's because I'm just a simple person. I don't know.
Maybe I should get one, because every time they'd talk to me and ask, like, what are you doing tonight, Reggie? My answer would always be the same. Absolutely nothing. Watching TV, playing video games. That's my night. You can
not
go to
trying to take over the world.
Nope, not trying to take over the world. I'm no brain. Same thing we do every night, Pinky.
Alexa, aka Skynet.
All right, here's another odd story, maybe interesting, depending on your point of view. Workers in Atlanta discover a wallet behind a wall while remodeling a movie theater. The wallet had been lost for 65 years. The owner of the theater, Chris Escobar, thinks that the area was likely a former lost and found area in the manager's office. He told CNN it was a portal back in time, adding, and then realizing that this has been missing from this family of real people who lived in the neighborhood for 65 years, imagine if we could find him. Well, he did a little research and he did find him. The owner of the wallet died in 2005 at the age of 87. However, her daughter, now 71, was alive. The wallet ended up containing family photos, a library card, and raffle tickets. Hopefully, she wasn't a winner for any of those tickets.
Really left money on the table there, didn't she?
She may have. I want to know, why wouldn't you go back to the theater and ask, have you seen my wallet?
Well, maybe she did, and they apparently erected a wall around it, so
she will never find it. I'm going to build a wall so she can never find this wallet.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. It would be pretty cool, though, as the daughter, to receive this, of course, after your mother had died almost 20 years ago now, to see this piece of her return to you. I imagine that was somewhat emotional.
In the story, I didn't put it in what I wrote here, but it did say that she said it felt like her mom was really there when she received the wallet. So it was pretty emotional for her.
That is cool. That is a cool ending to the story for sure.
Now, a couple of those strange Guinness World Records out there. We all know there's some weird ones. A pair of French chefs created a pizza using 1,001 different types of cheese. Now, I'm from the land of cheese, and so are you, Marcus. I didn't even know there were that many types of cheese out there.
No, I didn't either. And when I saw the picture, Reggie, I'm like, that's not even a pizza. That looks like a cake with how high the cheese had to be piled on to get 1,000.
I didn't know how you fit that much cheese on one pizza.
It looked like they made like a 15-incher. Like, why don't you just make a massive pizza and then you could sprinkle it on and it would actually be like legitimate.
I don't think I even have 1,000 shavings of mozzarella on a pizza when I make it. You had to have like one tiny piece of each types of cheese on this pizza and spread around.
I don't know how many strands of mozzarella. I'm not good at that jelly bean game, you know. So I couldn't tell you, but that's a lot.
The previous records were 254 of cheeses in 2020, and that was quickly broken with 834 varieties. So 940 of these cheeses came from France. The rest of the cheese was brought in from other countries. It gets even weirder now. There is now a new record out there for the quickest time popping 200 balloons.
We all asked. Yeah, we all asked for this, Reggie.
David Rush, who's from Idaho, was able to accomplish that feat in 11.83 seconds. Now, Rush has broken more than 250 Guinness records, and he previously set this record at 14.77 seconds until someone had to overtake him with 12.1 seconds. So naturally, he had to take his title back. And now for the strangest record I've seen, the fastest time to put on 10 pairs of underwear, because why not, I guess. That record is now 13.03 seconds. Nicholas Manning from Australia said he always wanted to break a Guinness World Record. It took him 6 months of practice to get his technique down. There was no word on why he chose this record to be the one that he breaks.
How do people come up with these ideas? Because clearly it's not like Guinness has a set list of categories to say, these are the records we care about. And if you want to contend for one, let us know. I mean, people legit just create the most bizarre activity out there and decide they're going to get really good at it or really fast at it. And then they set a record.
At least it should be something useful, like the most amount of shirts you can hang.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, putting on 10 pairs of underwear over one another, there's no practical use for that.
No, exactly. Give me something practical, like the fastest dishes washed, the most clothes put away, the most diapers changed, if you're like a nurse or something. Yeah, records like that. Sure, why not? Or the quickest diaper change. You know, give me a practical record, not how many pairs of underwear can I put on.
Popping 200 balloons. I mean, is this like, how do I get out of Indiana Jones Temple of Doom here? Well, pop 200 balloons and you've got 12 seconds. Go. Oh, no. Thank God that David Rush from Idaho's here.
And his 250 other Guinness World Records.
Yes, that were totally necessary. Does he work? Like, when do you train or get ready to try to set these records? That's another question I would have. Now, I poke fun at all of these records, but I found another one that really stood out to me. So, I mean, we talk so much about obscure records here, but this one I had to tell someone about. A woman in Ghana recently attempted to set a new record by singing for 126 hours and 52 minutes. That's a little more than 5 days straight. 33-year-old Afua Asantua is an entrepreneur, media personality, and former beauty queen. She started singing through a list of 125 songs across a variety of genres on Christmas Eve and ended her attempt 5 days later with a hoarse voice and her country's flag wrapped around her. Per the BBC, the event organizers said Miss Asantua performed for 126 hours and 52 minutes, as I previously said, but was allowed a 5-minute break every hour or 20 minutes after every 4 hours. Quite frankly, that seems more than fair when you consider that even regular touring musicians generally take a little time between songs at concerts. A DJ was on hand to play the backing track, but she could only pause singing within or between songs for less than 30 seconds, aside from those aforementioned breaks she was granted. A crowd was on hand for much of the attempt, but Asantua was performing behind clear glass so as to not be distracted by the noise. I'm not sure if that's better or worse, Reggie. Like, I'm in this soundproof area where nothing can disturb me. I almost think I'd rather have the crowd there to cheer me on, kind of like an athlete in a game.
Yeah, amp you up. Get your adrenaline going.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're just in this emotionless, like, cage. I'm in a glass pit of emotion. and trying to keep it going for 5 days. Are you not just exhausted from not sleeping? That is the biggest question I have here.
I can't even watch TV, play video games, or do something that doesn't even require physical activity. I can't do that for 5 days straight without sleeping.
Yeah, like, legit, I'm going, was there any performance-enhancing drugs that were necessary to stay awake for 5 days? Because that sounds like a military operation, quite frankly. Important to note here, though, I mentioned this was an attempt at a world record and not officially a new record yet. That's because evidence from the performance had to be submitted to Guinness, which included names of witnesses, people who could testify to what took place. And they're now awaiting, or we're all now awaiting, official word back. Of course, this was documented via camera and everything else. I'm a little surprised that Guinness didn't actually send a representative out there. But you know what? I'm betting, Reggie, no one in the office was going to volunteer to stay up for 5 days and make sure that this went down the way that it was supposed to.
I feel like this goes back to our penguin micronap story that we've talked about before. That's how she had to have stayed awake. She just takes those micronaps. How else do you stay awake for 5 days?
That would be the key. That would be the way to do it. You're right. Tying it all together. Nicely done, man. Yeah. Got to pause for 4 seconds, get a quick nap in, and back to singing. Asatoa told the BBC she hoped the singing marathon, quote, would be an inspiration to all women to come out of your comfort zone and try new opportunities. When you put your mind to it, you can achieve it, end quote. Now, if you were going to set an obscure world record, Reggie, is there anything that comes to mind that you would try?
Longest nap.
Oh, okay. I like it. How is it? How do we know that it constitutes a nap and not just a general lay down to sleep?
I start in the afternoon.
And don't wake up until the afternoon.
Correct.
Of some other day.
Correct. Actually, I wouldn't be able to succeed. My naps aren't that long. I like to have a short nap, just enough to wake me up. So I don't really know if there's anything out there that I feel like I need to achieve that would break anyone's record. I guess I don't care enough.
Yeah, nor do I. Never even once thought about how do I get into the Guinness World Record book. But hey, clearly there are a lot of people who do.
Taking a look at this day in history, on January 3rd, 1973, a 12-man syndicate led by Michael Burke and George Steinbrenner III, they buy MLB's New York Yankees from CBS for $10 million. Now, the Yankees were founded in 1903 when Frank Farrell and Bill Devery acquired the rights to the Baltimore Orioles after they ceased operations. The duo renamed the team to New York Highlanders, but officially renamed it to the Yankees in 1913. The team is actually owned by Yankee Global Enterprises, but controlled by the family of George Steinbrenner, who passed away in 2010. I have to say, $10 million in 1973 probably sounds like a lot of money. But when you throw that into an inflation calculator to today's money, it's $69 million or a little over. But that team is worth what?
$7.1 billion valuation today. They are one of the most valuable sports franchises in the world. Now, if you look at a list, typically Forbes puts this out, the majority of the top 10 is typically European soccer clubs, but the Yankees are not far behind. The Yankees, the Dallas Cowboys, the Los Angeles Lakers, three of the more prominent sports franchises from a value standpoint in the United States. So yeah, $10 million is a bargain. That is a steal for George Steinbrenner when you consider the ROI on this thing. Yeah, and one thing that really jumped out at me, Reggie, because I never knew this, the fact that Steinbrenner and his group purchased the club from CBS. I had no idea that the broadcast giant ever actually owned a sports franchise, let alone the New York Yankees.
Yeah, I got to say, they're probably kicking themselves in the butt for that sale right now. That'd be money coming into CBS.
Yes, it would. And be a lot of built-in programming for you, too. And you think about this, and I know not everybody is deep in the weeds with baseball, but the Yankees created their own network, the YES Network. I believe it's the Yankee Entertainment something or another. I should know this off the top of my head, but I don't. So the YES Network televises not only the Yankees, but a number of New York-based sports franchises. And when you consider the valuation of everything surrounding the franchise, it's not only the team, but also the stadium and the network, the television network. Of course, the merchandising rights, which are just astronomical for Yankee gear. So pretty wild. Yeah. And whoever made that deal at CBS, probably regretting that one.
And YES is Yankee Entertainment and Sports Network.
Okay, there you go. So, I mean, that in and of itself is a valuable commodity. And think of what CBS could have done with this, you know, years later. Wow. Then again, would they have ever spent money the way George Steinbrenner did and brought the team back to relevance in the 1990s? Hard to say.
Thanks for joining us on another edition of Cool Stuff Ride Home. I'm Reggie Rizzou with Marcus Path. If you have any thoughts or questions, feel free to email us at coolstuffcommute@gmail.com. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Cool Stuff Ride Home.